All right, here we go. And I'm sitting down with my new friend, and I absolutely love her. I think she's amazing. And her name is Chelsea Gibson, correct?
That's it. Thanks right for having me.
Yes. Okay, so a lot of this podcast is just telling your story, telling it in a way that somebody out there, 1, 5, 100,000, who knows how many people are going to listen to this, somebody out there probably resonates with your story. So, and I just want to give people a platform to be able to tell the world about themselves. And also, this is kind of like a conversation just between you and I, because we met each other Friday. So 3 days ago, 4 days ago. And so I know a little bit about you, but I really don't know a lot about you. So you have a good 30 to 45 minutes, or however long you want to take, to just have a little bit of a conversation and tell us about you.
I love that that's just kind of this what you're going for. Just people, first of all, it's a little intimidating, right? Being able to just open up and have a spiel about yourself because, you know, what do you talk about, right? Mm-hmm. So that's intimidating. So I'm sorry if I kind of stumble around a lot, because I probably will.
But it also makes you human and real. And I think people respond to that a lot more than just having something that's super polished. So I just let the mic go. If you mess up, screw up, say something, whatever, we don't stop it. We don't really start over. Unless it's like a total fuck up. Then we were like, oh, whoops. Okay, got to start that over.
Okay, great. Okay, so yeah, where to start? So I guess we'll start at the beginning, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was born in Maryland. I was Andrews Air Force Base. So my dad was in the military, Air Force, retired from the Air Force. And I traveled the world with him. So my family, it wasn't just him. It was my mom, my dad, my sister. And we traveled the world. We got stationed in Italy. We've got stationed in New Mexico, Maryland. He got stationed in Korea for a year. We didn't get to go with him then, but, a great, great childhood, you know, just getting to go out, experience different cultures. And that's kind of what drove me to this lifestyle as well. I guess nobody knows this, but you know, we just recently converted a school bus into a motorhome as well. So we're kind of out traveling around showing the kids the world. But that was it. I remember we went on a trip to Egypt once when I was a kid. I think I was probably, I must have been maybe 7 or 8. And they take you in these buses to the pyramids.
Oh, you got to see them?
Yeah,
oh,
we did. And it was such an amazing experience. And you know what's funny is thinking back on it now, I was like, man, my parents were so brave with me, because mm-hmm. now I've got 2 young boys and I'm like, I would be scared. And you know, it might have just been different times, but I'd have been so scared, but they had us on these, you know, armored buses going in. And I remember looking out the window and I said, wow, why are all these people just laying around? You know, it looks like they're laying in trash. And my mom was like, no, that's not trash. That's their home.
Yeah.
Like that's how they live. Like you have a really nice life. You're very privileged. And that just kind of set a tone for my life mm-hmm. is expose my kids, because I'm so grateful. Like, I don't have the best life. I don't have any of that, but I am so lucky that I love my life and I'm grateful. So fast forward, my parents retired in New Mexico, went there, graduated high school. And that's actually where I met my husband. We were working at a deli shop together. If I'm going completely off rail from,
tell me. It's fine.
So we met at a deli shop, and I would say we were best friends. Spent all the time together. There was never really, like, I think we liked each other, but there was just something keeping us from ever dating. And I'm thankful for that, too, okay? Because we were just going down the wrong path. Like, I was doing drugs, I was drinking, I failed out of college. And it's funny, because we both ended up signing up for the Marine Corps, or he signed up for the Marine Corps, I signed up for the Air Force, and we signed up right around the same time and didn't tell each other we were signing up, and then left for boot camp within a week from each other.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was crazy. So we left. He went off to the Marine Corps. I went off for the Air Force. We did boot camp. We were trying to, like, write letters to each other, but it never made it to each other because he was in boot camp, or I was doing basic. It's called basic military training when you're in the Air Force. It's called mm-hmm. boot camp for the Marine Corps. So I was in the basic, going through that, and I tried writing him a letter. And it didn't make it to him, because by the time it got to him, he was already in boot camp, and vice versa. So we were just trying to, like, reach each other. We never did. And then I would say maybe 4 or 5 years later, we met up during Christmas break. Mm-hmm. And there was just enough sparks. And I was like, oh, okay. Hey. And, you know, we started dating long distance. He was in North Carolina. I was back in New Mexico. And there was just enough sparks. And maybe a year later, we were married. And that's kind of like what set our life. But joining the Air Force was probably the best thing that I did. It was kind of one of those decisions where, you know, I'd failed out of college. I was starting to do drugs, and it was kind of getting past, you know, like the simple smoking pot every once in a while is starting to escalate. And I remember sitting there, and I was just so depressed, you know, with my life. I wasn't happy where I was. And I was just thinking, I was like, God, I'm going to end up in jail. Mm-hmm. Like, if I continue down this path, I'm going to end up in jail. Like, this isn't where I want to be. And my dad was like, look, if you join the military, I know it doesn't sound great, but it's better than where you're at. He's like, I was right where you are. It's better than where you're at. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, maybe it's something to think about. And I went and talked to a recruiter, and I joined the military and left soon after that. I think I was actually 17 when I signed up. And I think one thing is like, yeah, I was 17 when I signed up, left, went, lived in Texas for a while, spent some time in England. And then I transitioned over into the Guard, and the Guard's kind of where you do 1 weekend a month is the military, right? So if there's ever a disaster in the state that you're in, they call up the Guard and they come and they become basically activated at that point. And they come and help out with whatever issues there are there. But when you're in the Guard, you do 1 weekend a month. And then you work during the summers as well. But I went and I spent a couple months in England. You know, I was able to travel around a lot. And honestly, it gave me just the discipline that I needed. Mm-hmm. I was just all over the place. So it gave me the discipline I needed. It was able to help pay for school. You know, it helped me really become proud of who I was, you know, proud of where I was. You know, it also kind of went back to just realizing how grateful I am to be where I'm at. You know, America's might have kind of some of its flaws, but it also, we're so lucky to be here. Mm-hmm. Unbelievably lucky to be here. Like, just the fact that people can sit and, like, complain about being here, I think, is enough to say, gosh, okay, we're lucky here, right?
Yeah. What are you drinking?
So it's a beer called Shades.
Not sponsored by.
Not sponsored. But if you're interested, so are we. It's actually a brewery out of Salt Lake City.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, never been there, but it's actually pretty purple. Decent. Okay. I know, yeah.
Is it a sour?
It tastes like it.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's not an actual sour. It's a... I'm going to butcher this, so it's going to be embarrassing that we're recording this part. It's a Bierliner Weisse? Weisse? You want to try it? You might be able to be better than I am with
Bierliner
this.
Bierliner or Weisse? You just have to say it like, Bierliner Weisse.
That's what I was thinking.
Really, yes. Quick and kind of Germany.
Yes. But it's actually super good. It's with ale with plum.
Yeah. That can looks cool.
Yeah, we got another one in the bus if you want one. I'll get you one later.
We're headed to Salt Lake, I think, tomorrow. Or not tomorrow. 2 days from now. Up to that area. I might have to check it out. So, that was your paid advertisement by Shades Brewing. Check it out. If you're listening, please donate beer. We like it. So, what brought you to kind of, like, how you are or where you and what you're doing now?
Oh, okay. So, I originally went to...
Or I guess that might have been fast forward way too far. Continue with your story.
That's okay. You know what? It's funny because I feel like every single thing that happens in your life happens for a reason. Mm-hmm. I'm 100% full belief in that. The good, the bad, however you want to view it, I think kind of just shapes the way your life is. And so I went to college. So like I said, I transitioned to the Guard and I started going to college full time.
Easier when you went back to college after being in the military?
Yeah. So the Guard paid for your full tuition, and it was nice because it was only that 1 week in a month. Mm-hmm. And they paid for my full tuition. I am very repetitive, so I'm sorry.
That's okay.
So I went to a small college in New Mexico, and I got my bachelor's. It was computer science and mathematical modeling. So I was like, this is it. Adam and I got married, and he was getting stationed in 29 Palms, California. And I was like, psh, look at me. Got this bachelor's. It's going to be great. I can get a job. Nobody has this degree. Everyone's going to want me. And I got there, and I couldn't get a job to save my life. It was awful. Yeah, right? I was so, like, proud of myself. I was like, this is it. I'm going to the big places. I ended up working at HR, and it was the worst. because I'm not great with people.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just so awkward, and standing in front of people is just, it was so hard for me, and I got a job at HR, and I was training people.
Okay.
It was my, just, it was the worst. And God, it was rough. So I eventually ended up transitioning over to their IT department. So okay. I started working in IT.
And which is what you wanted to do to begin with.
No. You know, to be honest, I don't know if I still don't know if I really know what I want to be when I grow up, right?
Okay.
Like, I don't know if I found my calling, which is kind of sad, like, now that I'm older and everything. Like, I'm not sure if I found my calling, but
I didn't start doing what I liked until I was, like, 34. So it took a while.
It does, yeah. Right? I think you just kind of have to experience a lot of things to kind of really realize where you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so IT, but I think it was a lot more comfortable for me, and I think I picked up at that a lot. And the group that worked there was just the best. The HR department I worked for was just miserable. Like, the boss was kind of one of those ladies that would just, like, come in and just start screaming at you.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah, so it was one of those things where, like, I was, like, crying on my way home from work, or crying on the way to work, and I was, like, pregnant with my firstborn. And then when I gave birth, I ended up having just terrible postpartum depression.
Oh, no.
It was just awful. I think I, like, kind of suffer with... Do you mind if I put my feet here?
No.
I'm going to take my shoes off so they're not sandy up here.
We are literally out in the middle of the... Not really the... Well, it's a desert, but it's, like, a dusty Utah. Like, you can get... I cleaned today, and there's just going to be dust everywhere again because it's just dusty. But, yes, feel free to sit comfortably.
Dirty everywhere. But yeah, I think I struggled really bad with postpartum depression. So I was like crying on the way to work, crying on the way back. She was terrible. Like, I remember once I brought my husband to work and she yelled at him for being there.
Oh my gosh.
Which was crazy because, like, the place was closed down. Like, she must have had her own demons and she's struggling with a lot. But I was really young and it was, like, hard to kind of process that and, like,
right.
understand outside of myself. So that kind of, like, taught me a lot about people as well there. So, but then I transitioned over to the IT department, and those people were just great. It became my second family. I still talk to them. I still go visit them down in California.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of what brought me into the IT field. And there's when I had my son and I realized that I wanted to go further and make myself a better person, you know, mostly for him. So it was kind of like something he could look up to. So I went back for my master's. He's probably 2 months old. And so I was going to school full time, working full time, and I had him, and it was just so hard, like, dealing with that postpartum depression. Like, it was so hard. But then I got my master's in cybersecurity. And that's when we moved to D.C. So I was working cybersecurity. Adam was working in the intel field. We both got out of the military at that point and moved to D.C.
That had to have been really interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. It was. It's like a whole different... everyone's so different on the coasts. And it's so interesting seeing that. But it was really cool because we both supported the government, right? So he was doing his intel work. I was doing cybersecurity. And it was just cool. It was great. But Adam was working these crazy... like 12-hour swing shifts, like some days or some weeks he'd work like Monday, Tuesday days, and then the next week it would be Thursday, Friday nights, but it was never consistent. So it was always back and forth. So it was basically me raising Jet in DC by myself. Like, I had to wake up, I'd take him to school, and Adam was either sleeping or working. It was just nuts. So at some point we decided that he was going to stop working and that I would work full-time. So he ended up transitioning over to being like stay-at-home dad.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was working full-time supporting us. Which was hard. I feel bad for him mostly. You never think about there being like an issue with a stay-at-home dad, but like none of the stay-at-home mom groups would let him come hang out. So he was just feeling so isolated. So it was kind of like a hard transition because, you know, they were breastfeeding. So obviously, like, they wanted to be, you know, have some privacy. They didn't want some dude coming around being creepy or anything. So they were like, ooh, we don't let dads come around. So, like, he was just struggling really hard. And then I got pregnant with my second, and then coronavirus hit, right? And we originally had plans for my family to come out to watch Jet, my oldest,
mm-hmm.
while I went into labor. And then it turned out, like, they all had to cancel their flights. The flights closed down, so Adam had to stay home with Jet when I went to go into labor. So I had to
go. You were by yourself?
I went by myself, yeah. Oh, my gosh. It was crazy. And, you know, it was... It was nice. It was a really, really nice hospital. They let us, like, FaceTime each other the whole time. So it was like he was there, but it was hard. And I have so much respect for, like, the healthcare workers, too. Because they can just tell, you know what I mean? There was at one point where I was getting an epidural. Like, I finally just said, you know, this is it. I don't want to sit here and be in pain by myself. I'm miserable. I was in labor for, I think I was going on 26 hours.
Oh my.
Yeah. And I was at 3 centimeters dilated and there was no change for like 26 hours. And I was having contractions every 2 minutes. And it was just, like, the contractions were getting worse, but there was no progression. And finally, I was like, please, I'm so tired. Just give me an epidural. I just want to sleep.
Right.
I just want to sleep through this. I don't want to feel this anymore. Like, once it's go time, like, I'm happy. Because my first son, I didn't do any drugs, anything. It was such a traumatic. It ended up being so traumatic. I started hallucinating. Like, it was just such a crazy experience. And it was, like,
whoa.
The doctor was actually, like, a podiatrist. Yeah, it was... Yeah,
a foot doctor
delivered my son. And you could tell, like, she was this old, I think she was either prior Navy or Marine Corps or something. Like, at some point, she looked at me, she's like, you better push or I'm going to fucking cut you. And I was like, oh, my God, I don't know what's happening. It was such a disaster. And then, you know, the post-trap, like, you know, just, like, the depression after birth and everything. It was just, it was so traumatic that at this point, I was like, I don't want to go through that. I don't want to be through that pain, like... I'm just want to
and
sleep. I'm alone. Yeah, I just want to eat cheese, and I haven't eaten in 26 hours. Like, it was because
did they not let you eat before you gave birth?
No, they put me on Pitocin because it wasn't progressing, and that's supposed to help push you along. So they put me on that, and 20 hours later, nothing happened, and I was still on this Pitocin. You're not allowed to eat. You're not allowed to drink. I was like, I'm just gonna go. I was just like going into the bathroom, like drinking out of the sink because I was like, I'm so parched. I don't even care because they wouldn't bring you water or ice, chips, nothing. So I was like, I'm just gonna drink out of the sink. They don't need to know. And I get it because they don't want you to like throw up when you're in labor.
Right.
I was like, I don't even care. At this point, I'm so thirsty. Like, so I went to get the epidural and it was the only time I've ever had it. And I was so scared for some reason, you know, people putting something in your back is scary, right? So I was terrified about that. And I just looked at the nurse and, you know, COVID, they're like, stay away. And she just came over and just like gave me this big bear hug through it all. And I just cried. I was like, oh my God, I'm so grateful for her.
Yeah.
Cause she could just tell, you know, like this poor lady. Yep. And then... So that was kind of like the straw that broke the camel's back on, you know, we should move. We don't have, like, the support system we felt like we had. Because before it was, you know, we had a bunch of friends. All the kids were Jet's age. So it was nice because we had a group there. But once coronavirus hit, you know, everything locked down.
Mm-hmm.
I gave birth by myself and we were like, what are we doing? Like, the kids don't know their grandparents. All of our family's in New Mexico. Like, I'm working remotely. My company said, you can just stay remote. It's fine. Like...
Were you working in office prior to Corona?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, yeah. And then I told her, I was like, hey, we're thinking about moving to New Mexico. I love what I'm doing here. If I can stay on, that's great. If not, I totally understand that. Like, it's just more of a family preference. We just want to be near our family. And they're like, no, let's keep you on. You're doing great things. We'll fly you back if we need to. So we packed it up and moved back to New Mexico. And it was, you know, it was a great decision. And then we were like, well, I'm already remote. Like, why not go? Like, why, let's just make the most of it. Like, this is kind of the lifestyle everybody wants and not everybody's able to have. So we finished up the bus. We moved into it. It's funny because actually we were in the process of moving or finishing it. And Schoolypalooza happened in February.
And Schoolypalooza.
Yeah. Schoolypalooza, like this mass gathering of buses where, you know, everybody just comes and gathers for, you know, a week or so. I think it's like a week or so.
I was planning on going to it and everything just kept getting pushed back. And I didn't make it.
Oh, you know what's funny is I heard that this year was kind of like the Burning Man of Schoolypalooza because, you know, coronavirus was making everything kind of weird.
Yeah.
And I hear it's usually just fantastic. I had a great time, though. I had a great time. It was so nice. And I think that's kind of what, like, lit the fuel for us just to finish our build quicker because it took us 2 years to finish our build. And so we went to that, but, like, when we went to that, we're like, we're just going to do a quick two-three-day trip and come right back, finish the build, do whatever we got to do. And we went there, we didn't have running water. We like filled up one of the bunks with like gallon water. We like, it was so crazy. It was like dry camping in our bus. And we went there, we met all these great people, like the community's amazing. And then we left Schoolypalooza and I was like, hey, we're like 3 hours away from 29 Palms. And that's, you know, where all my IT people live. Let's go. So we like hopped over there and it's like right next to Joshua Tree. So then we like went over to Joshua Tree and I was like, well, we're on the way home. You know, the Grand Canyon's basically there. It would be silly if we didn't stop, right? And so we went over the Grand Canyon, and I was like, well, Sedona's right near here. We might, wouldn't that be crazy just to not do that? And then another one was like, oh, Red Rock. That's kind of near right. here. Let's just go. And then we ended up going to, like, Red Rock, Arizona versus Red Rock. Like, I think it's the state park.
Oh, wait. Are you talking about Red Rock's the amphitheater?
That's Denver. I don't even know.
Is that Denver?
No. Oh. It's Arizona. I think it's, like, a state or national park. Okay.
I was like, how far did you go?
Oh, we went all over Arizona. We ended up doing, like, a two-day trip into 3 weeks.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's like, awesome. Dry camping in this bus. And that's why I was like, oh, my God, this is so much fun. Like, I love this. I love seeing the new things. The kids were having a blast. We were meeting great people. So we just went home, finished up the build, and then started coming out. So that's where we're at today. That was a really long way of answering your question.
No, that was great. No, that was great. Yeah, I my first trip was to Iowa last September. So I didn't have a bathroom. I didn't have propane. Didn't have water at that time, I don't think. I had a bed. Wasn't painted or anything, and I had a mattress on it. Didn't have any of the benches or pillows or anything, but I was like, my family has to see this. And I like drove it up to Iowa and then stayed in like St. Louis. And then I went down to Florida for November for a tiny home festival. And same thing, like I was not done. And Jess from Painted Buffalo was there too. And then, of course, after that, I was supposed to head back, but then they're like, well, we're going to do Thanksgiving on like this side of the ocean. And I'm like, I don't want to miss that. So I went. And then, like, a week later, I'm like, I need to go back to Nashville. Like, I have some work I have to do. And then sitting there, I was just like, I cannot wait to get back in it, even with it not being done. Like, yeah, I totally, totally understand that. So how is it going living on the road then? Oh, now, are you full-time on the road now, or are you still floating around? Like, do you go back to New Mexico, or what are you doing?
So we're kind of floating that idea around right now. We bought property in New Mexico, so it's just land. So we've got some land out there, and it's right near the family, and we want to build a house there and just kind of have, like, our homestead there. But, you know, with costs of building and everything are so expensive right now that we're kind of just kind of deciding whether we want to go back right away and kind of take that or keep traveling.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm leaning more towards keep traveling, but we'll see how Adam feels about it.
Now, with you working, do you have to find Wi-Fi, like, every day, or...
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You have to be near a city or someplace that has service.
So I actually use the hotspot on my phone, okay. And we have a WeBoost on the bus.
To get one of those.
Just park Hi, real WeBoost. Close to me.
If you would like to sponsor me, I would love to take one of your little doohickey thingamabobbers.
And it works so well. Yeah. It works really well. Not that they're sponsoring us, I should say that, but if they want to, I'm also here for that. But it's a true story. We actually got it before we left because I knew I needed to have service. Mm-hmm. And basically it just takes your cell phone service and amplifies it wherever it's at, right?
Right.
So we were driving here and we were just trying to make as much time as we could because we left really late from New Mexico and we were trying to get to VanFest in time. And we were driving and I was like, oh, I've got a meeting in 30 minutes. But it's okay. I'm just going to keep driving. Oh, it's 15 minutes. I'll just keep driving. I'll just go a little bit further. 5 minutes. Okay, I'm going to pull over. And I found the closest gas station. I pulled over. No service. And I was like, oh, shit. If this is how it goes, I'm going to get fired. Like, I'm going to be fired from my job.
Yeah.
And I, like, ran into the bus because we drive behind the bus, right? Well, I have a foreigner. I just drive behind the bus. And I pulled up behind Adam and I ran into the bus. I was like, I don't have service. Do you have service? And he looks up to his phone. He's like, turn the WeBoost on. I was like, turn the WeBoost. And we like plugged it in and turned it on. And like, it had just enough service. Like, I don't know how it found the service out. And it found just enough service. I like called into my call. I could hear everything great. And it was fantastic. And I was like, it was so worth the money.
That's awesome. I've heard great things about it because same thing. Like I'm uploading photos and stuff like that I took and it was taking a little time, but can you be anywhere in your bus and have service? There's some, this little nook in this back right here doesn't work very well for my phone. Then I can go to the front window and it's fine. But there's something about this little area here that doesn't like service.
You should just park real close to my bus. And then when the WeBoost is on, you'll just be able to reach that signal. You don't have to like sign into it or anything. It just amplifies it. So you could probably.
Is it any service?
Yeah. Like,
so it's AT&T, Verizon or anything?
Yeah.
Does so just it go park up?
Real close.
Do you have to like?
Yeah, it's that weird little black antenna. If you want to look at it, there's like a black antenna.
Sorry, guys, who's listening to this? We're looking at the back.
But no, if you're interested.
But it doesn't. You don't have to like push it up into the air or anything.
It just stays there. Right, yeah, it's there. Permanently mounted there.
Okay.
And for everybody or anyone that's listening, we just did a tour with Tiny House Tours. And
yeah.
So that's on YouTube, and we covered that on there as well. So if you're interested in what it looks like, it'll be on there. Also, don't judge my bus, please.
That's gorgeous.
Oh, thank you.
I think everybody feels that way, though, because it is your house, and then we're in the state of comparison all the time because
especially
of Instagram,
social media.
Of everything.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So you go into somebody's and you're just like, oh my God, this is beautiful. And like, I forget how, like, I get chills every time I'm in my own that
yeah.
I'm like, oh my God, this is me. Like, and this is mine. And I get to travel and then I'll go in somebody else's and I'm like, damn, this one's really nice.
Right? I do the same. Every time I come into your bus, I say the same thing. I'm like, damn, God, this
Whereas
is
I'm
so
like,
beautiful.
Look at yours. It's so fancy.
Oh, that's so nice you
my
say that.
My wall's cracking. I don't know what happened there.
You know what's funny is you're the only person that sees that though. And that's what I've started to realize is
yes.
I go into my bus and I'm like, man, remember how awful it was trying to cut that and it doesn't fit at all, and
yes.
nobody else sees that until I point it out, and I should probably stop pointing
yes.
bad things in my bus out to
and
people.
I am first to do it. Like, people will come in and be like, oh, that's really pretty. I'm like, I know, but like my ceiling is not exactly what I wanted it to do. And that's like a thing, that's definitely a habit that I'm trying to break myself of,
mm-hmm.
of just being like, oh, thanks. You mean my like ghetto curtains that I've turned sideways because I haven't done curtains yet?
I haven't even noticed like, that. Oh my gosh, that's so smart. I wish I would have thought of that. I sewed my own curtains and it was the worst thing.
I want to sew my own curtains.
Well, if you want to come to New Mexico, I've got my sewing machine there.
You're sitting on
totally
my sewing machine.
What?
It's underneath you in that little locker thing.
If you want help,
my
I can
mom
help
gave
you with
me
it.
A sewing machine, and she keeps asking me. She's like, "So, did you make your curtains yet?" And I'm like, "I literally haven't even turned it on.
Oh
like, I
gosh.
Have the sewing machine. Thank you, mom, for my brand new sewing machine. But all I did was buy $5 curtains from Walmart and flip them sideways. This was like
I never
at
noticed.
The show. I
really?
Figured this out. Yes, because. So the little
That's
wire
genius.
Things that I have,
yeah.
my dad just hung those like a week ago cause I couldn't get them up. And then I was using backdrops, like photo backdrops
oh, wow.
for the rest of it. Cause I'm like, people can see me change.
Yes.
And then at Saturday
like the
morning
car.
At the show, I was like, I could just turn those things sideways. And then it worked out great.
Gosh.
So.
First of all, way to go dad with that
yeah.
wire. Oh, that's fantastic.
I mean, it was my idea. I bought the wires. I just couldn't
have the best ideas.
I couldn't install them. And now after watching him do it, I can. But I think I accidentally drilled into my blinker. Because my blinker is like intermittent now.
Yeah.
And it's the right blinker. So that's not exactly fun for like city driving if I have to get over. So I'm going to have to fix that. But anyway. So what's it like being a mom and a mom on the road and a career working mom?
I think the most stressful thing is being, or with being a mom. So first of all, I just love being a mom. I love it. It's hard work, but I absolutely love it. It's so rewarding. But it comes with challenges. And one of the things that I'm like most nervous about, and I always try to like talk to other moms about, is like raising young boys in today's age, right? Like, how do I raise them to be respectful? How do I raise them to like listen to other women and raise women up? Because, you know, I feel like there were so many times like during my life where, you know, I feel like you're kind of raised to be proper
mm-hmm.
and not speak up, not speak out. And I've always been in like male driven careers. I've always been, you know, the military is male driven, cybersecurity. I think I'm the only female on my team, you know, it's just, and being the supervisor, like I've had so many issues with, you know, like a lot of the men that I work with, like some of them are 60-year-old men who want absolutely nothing to do with me telling them what to do because I'm their boss, right? So they don't want to hear, they don't want to listen to me. They like try to go around me all the time and just trying to like drive that. I'm trying to make sure I don't raise my sons to be like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like I want them to raise everyone around them up. I want to make sure that they are always respectful, always are, you know, it's just, it's hard, it's stressful and just trying to navigate that and trying. That's my biggest, I guess, I don't know, stressor maybe, but other than that, it's just fantastic. They're such great kids.
They're so cute.
Loving. Oh, thank you. They're such easygoing, great kids.
Yeah.
That if it continues to be like this, you know, knock on wood, I'm going to be lucky. They're going to turn out to be just fantastic men.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they have good parents, so.
Aw, thank
and then
you.
I feel like there's, like, a special bond between all these, like, bus kids and stuff, too. Or, like,
oh,
they
instant
just go play,
right?
And It's just, I mean, not that they're not inside playing video games and stuff, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, all bus kids are, like, normal kids, too. Like,
yeah.
I remember well, I'm fairly older, but I, like, kids who were homeschooled in my day and age, I was like, that's so weird.
The weirdos,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, I was like, homeschooling is very strange, and you have, like, two people in your class, and you have no social skills. And now, like, homeschooling, well, one, especially since COVID, it's a little bit more normal, too. But yeah. I've just seen, like, in the last 2 years of me being around bus kids, it's a funny thing, little group name, but, like, they're almost smarter than half the kids I know that are going to school. And my sister's a kindergarten teacher, and I love her dearly, and she's, you know, she's in public school, and I think her intentions of school are great, but sometimes public schools and what they're teaching isn't necessarily always life skills. So, mm-hmm. like, watching kids, like, learn about trees and learn about plants and, yeah. you know, like you said, being able to go to friggin' Egypt, like, as a kid, that's a huge memory. Not that you were homeschooled, or maybe you were.
I was, actually. Yeah, no. Okay. Yeah, fun fact.
So, see, you
yeah.
were weird.
I was. I came to school, and I was, like, that weird foreigner, because yeah. nobody realized I was, like, an American citizen. They just knew that I came from Italy, so, like, oh, weird foreigner.
Yeah.
Coming from Italy, doesn't have any social skill. You know, it was right. just, it was a weird transition.
What was that movie with Lindsay Lohan? Where she was, like, her parents were archaeologists or something, and she was in Africa. Was it Lindsay Lohan?
I don't remember. I think I remember the movie you're talking about, though.
Is it Mean Girls? It's not Mean
not
Girls.
Mean Girls. Oh, was it? It was. It was Mean Girls.
Okay.
Oh.
I'm like, in my mind, I'm doing the whole thing, and then I'm like, is it Lindsay Lohan that was in Mean Girls? Yeah.
Why does it feel like mean two girl? Different movies? It does, right?
Mean Girls, really great, really popular movie. But yeah, but she was like that homeschooled weirdo girl.
Yes.
Even yep. though she was like literally the coolest person in the whole school who like turned the school around or whatever. Go Mean Girls. Go Lindsay. Woohoo. Oh, that's funny. So what's next for you guys?
I don't know. So from here, I think, you know, we're headed up to Salt Lake City. No, but we have to switch out our window first, so we'll probably be here for a few days. Then we're going to head up to Salt Lake City in the Pacific Northwest, and then we're going to go to Disney in July.
Land or world?
World.
Oh, yeah, because you're yes. going to Star Wars. It yes. wasn't open the last time that I was there.
Oh, really?
And I heard, so it's not just Adam that's into Star Wars, it's...
It's not Adam it's that's Jet. Into Star Wars, it's Jet, 100% Jet.
It's that's funny.
Obsessed with Star Wars. It's so cute. It's I don't know where it came from because it's not like we ever pushed that on him. Like, Adam and I like Star Wars, but it's never been a, like, a huge passion of ours. But uh-huh. Jet knows, like, all these random, like, obscure characters, like, the secondary, the tertiary, like, characters. Like, wants to dress up as General Grievous, which
so
is,
the
like,
other day when you told me that, I missed that it was Jet. I thought it was Adam. And so I'm like, oh, Adam's...
Nerd! No, I'm just kidding.
So when he came in for his interview, I was like, hey, but that's Star. And he's like, oh, that's cool. And I'm
yeah.
like, well, you're not really, like,
yeah, that's
as
not
excited
the
as I thought.
Expecting, yeah.
And then he was like, well, my son is. I'm like, oh, that's even cuter. Because how old is he? Like, four?
Four, yes. Yeah. I don't know where it came from. But then once he was like, oh, I really like Star Wars, we're like, all right, well, here's this. And, you know, just slowly kind of, like, we're exposing him to things. And he just got more and more into it. That's so cute. He loves it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, that also explains why you wouldn't buy $1,000 lightsaber.
Oh, heck no. Yes. That was so cool. Those yeah. were so cool. The fact that those were $1,000, I was like, what makes me feel better than going to Disney to buy one and make one then?
Yes. The best is when the stormtroopers walk around. Because, well, wait. So Disney or Universal or wherever they are? I think it's Hollywood Studios is where.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or. Is that what
yeah,
they call it?
Yeah, that's in
now?
Disney. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Sorry, that was a lot. But the stormtroopers, like, come around. They're like, this is not the droids we're looking for. And they, like, keep walking. Oh, my God. And then you can go through, like, Jedi training. And then they march the little Jedis through
oh,
the parade.
Oh, no way.
Yeah,
oh, my gosh.
Awesome. Then Darth Vader comes out.
Mind is going to blow.
Yeah.
He's going to be, oh, my gosh. I'm, gonna
I'm not
him,
even, like a
role.
Whole Star Wars nerd, but I'm a little bit of a Star Wars mm-hmm. nerd. And, yeah, I just... As a kid, I always wanted to be Princess Leia, and so I
because
didn't
she's
have...
the most badass of the series,
she
right?
She was
Are we...
awesome. Yes.
She's the best.
And she had cool hair, and she, like, I did not have the Princess Leia body, but when I would lay in bed at night, I would be, like, pretending to be chained to...
Jabba the Hutt! Yes!
And I'm like, he's so gross, and he's so sick, but I'm, like, so pretty.
I'm also yeah. gonna low-key save the day. Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly. So... whatever. And I like the newer ones, too, with Rogue.
Yes, and yes.
I like the women empowerment. And I mean, I'm all about women empowerment, and I love that. But I will say, like, hearing from you, like, saying, like, raising men, and a couple other women that I've had, maybe not on the podcast, but in general, that are raising sons, it's got to be a tough time to raise kids because you want equality. You don't want, but you also don't want to demasculinate.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I know exactly.
Like,
yeah.
You don't want toxic masculinity.
Yes.
But you don't want to demasculate them. And you don't want the opposite effect where now all of a sudden women are just better than men. Like,
yeah.
At some point, yeah. Like, it would just be great to have
equality. Equality. Like, genuine equality. Yeah. Exactly. And that's such a fine line to walk and try and navigate them through.
Yeah.
So it's nice that, like, Adam and I are both kind of... I'm so grateful that he's there with me as well because, you know, we kind of check each other as well because there's a lot of things, you know, that growing up when we did, like, there's a lot of stuff that Adam could say or do that he wouldn't realize comes across a certain way to me. And the same to me where I come in and there's certain things that, you know, so we're kind of balancing each other out and, you know, I'm hoping that it works well. But I think there's just so many experiences in my life where I'm like, I've been wronged by men so many times. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want to play like a victim card or anything, but like, I remember, you know, like in college, I was engaged to a guy and it was one of those things where it was like, oh, you know, So I was engaged to a guy and he was just, you know, struggling a lot with mental health, and I was so young that I didn't really realize what, you know, the red flags. And he, at one point, you know, we'd broken up, but it was, you know, I was paying all the bills, we'd moved in together, and I was paying all the bills, we were going to college. We'd broken up, and he went to the bar the night we broke up and got real, real drunk, and I wasn't 21 yet, so I think I was, like, 19 or 20, and he came back to the house, and he was so drunk, and I, was like, let him in. It was in the middle of the winter, and he's like, do you want me to die? It's so cold outside, and I was like, just go to sleep, like, just leave me alone, sleep on the couch, just leave me alone. And then he was, like, complaining about how he tried to hook up with all these girls, and they didn't want to hook up with him, and I was like, what are you doing? Like, you're in my house, why are you having this conversation with me? And, you know, he just kept going on and on and on. I was like, just get out, I can't handle this, like, just please get out. And he was like, oh, you're just trying to get me to die. And he ended up, like, stabbing himself in my house, and then he stabbed me. And I'm like, it's just like trying to grow from that, you know what I mean? And trying to grow, you know. At that point, like, it's hard to recover from something like that. Like, somebody that you love so much, somebody that you've allowed yourself to be the most vulnerable with, taking that much advantage of you, you know? So trying to, like, come from that, and then going into, like, male-dominated fields, stuff like that, it was just been so hard trying to overcome all that, right? So now, trying to make sure my sons don't go down those paths, you know, where they're, you know, taking advantage of anyone or anything, because it's just hard. It is really, really hard. Yeah.
And you know how it feels. Wow. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. I'm sure that's not an easy story to tell.
No, it's not easy, but I like to tell that story, right? Because I ended up, you know, really successful in my career field. You know, I'm making really good money. I'm supporting my family. I'm so blessed. And I was able to come from such a low like that, you know. I was able to overcome that, and I was able to become and excel. And I think that's kind of, you know, goes along with the theme of your podcast, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Is how do you go from the worst to the best? You just become your best self. And after that, I went around to, like, different abuse shelters and, like, talking to different women, because it's so hard to get out of an abusive relationship. Right. And it's easy for people to say, well, why don't you just walk away? And it's so hard for so many women that, you know.
And you never know until you're in that situation.
Yeah.
From afar, we can always have the clarity of the, you know, what to do. And until you're in it, you don't know.
It's true. It's always easier to say than do, right?
Right.
And that's true. You know, there's so many women who aren't, you know, fortunate enough to be able to afford to support themselves and their children, you know, without this abusive person in their lives. So it just takes, it takes a lot of strength and it takes a lot of courage. So, you know, just, I enjoy telling, I don't enjoy it, but I like to tell the story because just for people out there, there is a way out of that, you know, there is strength, there is anything, you know? Yeah. And if there's ever anybody out there who does hear this and they just want some support, encouragement, or tips or tricks or anything, just reach out to me.
Yeah.
I'm on Instagram. I'm on Facebook. I'm on all those things. So it's easy to reach out to me, find me, talk to me. Yeah.
Okay, that's a great way of, well, unless you have any final things that you would like to talk about, but also how can people find you if they want to find you, or if you want them to find you?
I do, yes, no, if anybody ever wants to reach out to me, so the handle we go through is Time to Go Adventure. We're on Instagram and Facebook, so if you ever want to reach out to me, got questions about buses, builds, anything like that, or if you just want an event, if you're going through a tough time, I'm here.
Or, like, how to be a badass woman. Yeah.
Thanks. Right. Hearing that means so much, because there's so many times that I just feel weak and vulnerable.
Yeah.
You know? So hearing that from other people like you really means a lot to me.
No, I'm telling you, the other day when, I don't know what it was, like, we were talking, and there's thousands of people at this thing. We were just at this Van Fest thing in Hurricane, Utah, so that's what I'm referring to. I forget that I'm just, like, having a conversation sometimes.
I'm really glad that you do that, because it was reminding me that I have to explain more than I normally would.
Or, like, well, and I've learned it, too, because of working with various different people. Like, I have people who are blind. I have people who are deaf that listen or look at Facebook, and I just put pictures up, and then I'm like, oh, so sorry I didn't explain what that was. So, anyway, we were just at VanFest. It was a whole big, huge gathering of a whole bunch of different schoolies. And you were parked behind me. Did we? Well, yeah, we met Friday night.
We met the night before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or were you there Thursday night at the
thing right here?
Over here?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. See, I don't even know. But anyway,
it's been a whirlwind.
I just thought that, but you have like a, you're inclusive, you're obviously intelligent, like you can have a good, great conversation, but I didn't feel like you were one of those like Instagram, everything needs to be on camera, and nothing wrong with that. There's a time, place for all of that. But I felt like we actually had an actual conversation, and like I saw the like real, there's a real person, and I was like, that girl's awesome. Like, I like her. And then then Jessica was like, oh, well, we should get Adam. Adam's a veteran too. And I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. Let's get them on the podcast. And then Adam's one that was like, well, Chelsea's a veteran too. And I'm like, well, shit, let's get her on there too. I'm like, so, because a lot of times we do get overshadowed by, you know, spouses or well, Jessica, nobody overshadows Jessica. She's hilarious. But yeah, and then when I was interviewing him and he talked about you and stuff, like, it is, this was really good. You are very good at talking. And
thank you.
Also, like, this was a great podcast.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much. I feel such like an awkward human being, so I really appreciate that.
Oh, no, you're not awkward at all. But I will awkwardly always end these things, so I'm just going to say thank you so much for being on it, and I'm going to pause it, and then...
Thank you for having me. This was a great podcast. Oh. And I love your message.
Oh, thank you. Yes.